Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Diamond Sports Marine, the top 100 Ranger boat dealer 8 years running, has opened a second location to serve the North Texas area. Come and see our friendly and knowledgeable staff in Rockwall, featuring new and pre-owned boats, including Ranger boats powered by Mercury, Yamaha, and Evinrude outboard motors. For more information and to view our monthly specials, visit DiamondSportsMarine.com. Conveniently located on Highway 276 behind Southern Junction in Rockwall, look for the Diamond Sports Marine billboard or call us at 972-722-7843. Diamond Sports Marine, your North Texas Ranger boat dealer.
Located just an hour from Dallas lies Lake Texoma, the world's premier striper fishery. And with over 40 years experience, Captain John Brett's Lake Texoma Striper Guide Service is the best in the business. U.S. Coast Guard licensed, John provides the bait and tackle while you fish out of his roomy 26-foot center console. He also cleans and bags your catch. Call Captain John at 214-724-5193 or visit TexomaStriperFishing.com. Family friendly with discounts for kiddos as well as midweek trips. Go to TexomaStriperFishing.com today.
Have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or check out the website at www.goinfencing.com. That's G-I-O-N-fencing.com or call 940-391-3669 today.
I'm gonna hide out in the bottom where I hunt a deer and turkey. I know that swamp like the back of my hand. Hell, I was born and raised here, just wanted to be a good old boy. I never thought I'd ever be a wanted man.
All right, Texas, the great Chris Knight. Kicking things off for us on the Lone Star Outdoors Show this morning. I'm Cable Smith, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. I've got a great show lined up for you as we are set to talk about the great outdoors and everything that encompasses for the next hour. Off the top, we'll visit with the legislative director of the National Marine Manufacturers Association, Matt Dunn. If you didn't know, the EPA is trying to screw us. I tell you what, they just passed a proposal to allow the sale of E15 gasoline, and this is bad news, bad, bad news for the boating and fishing industries, as E15 is not compatible with marine engines of any kind due to its high ethanol content. It's also not compatible with any car or truck manufactured before 2007. Your lawnmower, weed whacker, forget it. E15 is bad news, and we're going to talk to Matt Dunn on how this is going to affect us as consumers. Then we'll visit with the CEO of Ducks Unlimited, Dale Hall. He's slated to join us, and I am thrilled to visit with the leader of one of my favorite conservation organizations. So we've got Dale Hall coming up in a little bit. Then we'll talk to Van Zandt County bow hunter, Greg Goodrich. Greg is probably a lot like you and me. He enjoys being at deer camp, just sitting around the campfire. He's a good guy, but he made a bad mistake while hunting at Hagerman last weekend. He's agreed to come on the show in hopes that someone out there listening this morning can learn from his error in judgment. And it's not an easy thing to do, to own up to your mistakes, but Greg has done that, and I'm really appreciative that he'll be joining us here in a little bit as well. So I am pumped up about this morning's show. It should be very informative. Now, a couple other things. We have decided to announce one winner for each of the next 3 weeks regarding our Southern Deer Stands Deer Blind Contest. This wasn't the original plan, but it's what we've decided to do leading up to our grand prize. Remember, Kelly Jordan and Ranger Hall of Famer Rusty Greer have decided our winners. They're the ones that cast the votes. We didn't have anything to do with this. So it's my pleasure to announce in third place, earning the title of Most Original Engineering, is Mitch Krivakucha of Georgetown, Texas. He has won a 5-year NRA membership, custom bedding job with Pillars Rifle Work from Max Gunworks, $120 value. Game Guard camo clothing package, a Lone Star Outdoor News hat and decal, and a copy of Poachers, Crooks, and Other Turkeys, which was written by our fine, fine Texas Parks and Wildlife game wardens. So congratulations once again to Mitch Krivokucha. And next week, we'll announce the winner of our runner-up second prize package. So if you submitted a photo of your deer blind, then make sure you're tuned in next week as well. Also, next week, we'll be giving away a $50 gift certificate to B&S Guns. You don't want to miss that opportunity. $50 to B&S Guns we're going to be giving away during the show next week. Moving along here, some great news out of North Dakota as the citizens voted last week whether to outlaw high fence hunting and consequently put the 13 high fence ranches in the state out of business. Fortunately, 57% of the voters did the right thing, and the proposed legislation was shot down. To the other 43% of North Dakotans who voted, well, y'all are a bunch of idiots. But anyway, chalk one up for the good guys and the hunting community as we prevailed over those yahoos who want to tell hunters how they have to hunt wild game and dictate to landowners what they can and can't do with their own land. Well, due to the fact that we've got a jam-packed show lined up this morning, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll visit with Matt Dunn of the National Marine Manufacturers Association. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Well, I like a full-bodied lager as much as next hard-working man. The taste of suds while dealing stud, I can surely understand. Chug a speedy, yes indeed, it's nearly getting light. Well, it's time to switch to whiskey, we've been drinking beer all night.
Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com.
You just ground checked that trophy 12 point, only to realize you can't get him back to camp because your ATV has a flat. Well, multi-seal tire sealant protects against punctures in the tread and sidewall of your tires. It seals bead and valve stem leaks, prevents rust and corrosion, lasts for the life of the tire, and so much more. See for yourself at multi-seal.com or call 800-577-3353. So whether it's your pickup, tractor, truck, or ATV, protect yourself with a Texas name you can trust. Multi-seal tire sealants. That's multi-seal.com.
We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000 square foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com.
Howdy, Range Country. Wes Mundy here, owner and operator of Double Diamond Outfitters, Texas's premier outfitting service. Fall is finally here, and I am currently booking South Texas Trophy Whitetail hunts. Check out my website at www.huntdoublediamond.com to find out about my South Texas fully guided whitetail hunts. Hunts are filling up fast, so call me, Wes, at 210-602-3118 or visit huntdoublediamond.com and let me take you on the hunt of a lifetime.
Texas outdoorsmen are fortunate enough to live in the best hunting state in the Union, as Texas provides some of the finest whitetail and bird hunting found anywhere on God's green earth. And with fall here, hunters are starting to get the fever. Trigger fingers are starting to get that natural curl in it. Feeders and cameras should be set, guns sighted in, honeydews completed with kitchen passes secured, and of course, don't forget about the new gear. And when it comes to gear, there's only one brand to consider, and that's Game Guard. Game Guard has deep Texas roots and works hard to provide the best camouflage products this state has to offer. So ask for Game Guard at your favorite retailer or look them up on the web at GameGuard.net. Game Guard, made for Texas hunters by Texas hunters.
This is Governor Rick Perry, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Last call came in a burst in the room. Shoved me out like a cruel push broom. Lowered my shoulder to the
crackle and snow. Older and colder than I'm ever supposed to be stuck here, cursing your name.
Great Bruce Robinson bringing us back from break here on this fine Texas morning. I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for waking up early with me to talk a little outdoors. Heck, maybe you've been up all night. Maybe you got up at 4 or 5 and you're already back in the truck after a successful hunt. If that's the case, then more power to you. Well, this segment of the show is proudly brought to you by Red Leg Outfitters, Texas premier waterfowl guide service. Call my buddy Stephen Welch at 903-272-2706 or visit redlegoutfitters.com to book your hunt today. Well, for all of y'all that may be unaware, the Obama administration and the Environmental Protection Agency recently dealt a pretty big blow to the hunting, fishing, and boating industries. And there's actually a great article in the most recent edition of Lone Star Outdoor News that covers this subject in great detail. But to sum it up, the EPA passed legislation allowing the sale of E15 gasoline. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, to shed some light on the issue, I've asked Matt Dunn, Legislative Director of the National Marine Manufacturers Association, to join us here this morning. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure. Now, I guess the first thing is tell us a little bit about the National Marine Manufacturers Association, because I have to be honest, prior to reading this article in Lone Star Outdoor News, I had no idea about the organization.
Sure. We are the leading national trade association for the marine manufacturing industry in the United States and Canada. We represent boat builders, engine manufacturers, and accessory marine product manufacturers. About 80 to 90% of all marine products made in North America are members of our association. It's about a $30, $35 billion industry in the U.S., and we represent the industry in government relations and public policy, public affairs, and certification of boats and so forth.
So basically, you're like the NRA, but for the boating industry.
Correct.
Very well. Now, Matt, let's go ahead and get into the very disturbing news that the boating, fishing, and hunting industry, for that matter, will once again take it on the chin at the hands of the Obama administration. And I'm talking about the sale of E15 gasoline here. So please feel free to elaborate on what exactly this means.
Sure. Well, the ethanol industry and the corn lobby have requested a petition from the Environmental Protection Agency to waive requirements under the Clean Air Act in order to sell a new fuel, which is called E15. It's a 15% blend of ethanol mixed with an 85% gasoline. That's a 50% increase in the current ethanol that you'll find in gasoline today. The legal maximum limit is 10% ethanol. Mm-hmm. And in March of 2009, an organization called Growth Energy, which is a lobbying organization for the ethanol industry, made this request for a petition or a waiver to sell E15 to EPA. They wanted to allow the sale of this fuel for all vehicles, both on-highway and non-road or off-highway engines like marine engines or lawnmowers and so forth. So we've been fighting this issue for a number of years, but on October 13th, EPA announced the decision to provide a waiver, essentially allowing the sale of E15, but only for cars and trucks made after 2007. Recognizing our arguments that E15 is not a compatible fuel with marine equipment and millions of other types of gasoline-powered engines.
And if I may just interrupt you here for a sec. I've got a lawnmower and a weed eater in my garage right now that I use every week that will be directly affected by this as well. So while it's particularly devastating for the boating and fishing industries, it also can affect any American out there who owns a gas-powered engine of any kind.
Absolutely. Almost every American in the country owns some kind of gas-powered equipment, whether that's your emergency generator, your all-terrain vehicle. You might have a snow machine or a snowmobile, a boat. You've certainly got a lawnmower and a weed whacker. All of those engines, and there are hundreds of millions of them in the United States, all of them have been certified to run on fuel containing not more than 10% ethanol. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. And that is that ethanol is chemically, or E15, what we call mid-level ethanol. It's chemically different in substantial ways from E10. It is corrosive. It acts as a solvent. The alcohol will literally scour the inside of your fuel hoses and engine components and gunk up your carburetor. And there's a lot higher oxygen content, which means your engine is going to run a lot hotter than it would otherwise. This is going to increase air emissions and probably bring a lot of engines in the country out of compliance with their air emission certification under the Clean Air Act. And so we anticipate, you know, if consumers put E15 in a boat motor or a boat fuel system, for example, they should know that their motor is not warrantied for any more than E10, and it will likely cause problems. So our initial action is to warn consumers to pay attention at the pump when this stuff gets on the market, and we're going to continue to fight this at the federal level to make sure that the boating public doesn't see this stuff at the pump.
And Matt, realistically, how soon can we expect gas stations to start carrying E15?
Just to give you a little download on the on where things stand now, EPA issued its decision on the 13th of October, but it also essentially delayed the implementation or the sale of E15 until it completes a new regulation relating to a pump label. So any gasoline pump selling E15 is going to have to put some kind of label yet to be determined on the pump. Now, we don't think that's enough. It's not going to protect consumers. We know people don't generally read labels at the pump, and these labels are going to be very confusing. But that process won't be finalized probably until the beginning of next year, at which time gasoline retailers may choose to sell E15 at the pump. And we would expect that in certain Midwestern states, which already have laws on the books at the state level encouraging the sale of E15 and other mid-level ethanol blends, that they'll start selling it right away. Thinking Iowa, Minnesota, where there are 850,000 recreational boat owners in that state. And so there's going to be some immediate problems. And then long term, we would expect to see this fuel proliferate in the marketplace, just as E10.
So obviously this is bad news for the consumer, but as far as from a manufacturer's standpoint, y'all obviously work very closely with Yamaha, Mercury, Evinrude, and so on and so forth. How is this going to affect them?
Well, they've been very engaged in this process along with us. We obviously represent those companies, and we've been advocating on their behalf. Those companies are going to have to educate their consumers. And as I say, we have not given up on this fight at the federal level. We anticipate taking a number of courses of action to protect the voting public. We haven't decided on a final strategic action yet, but I can anticipate that we'll be doing work in the Congress and at the EPA level to mitigate the negative impacts on this. And again, we might see this fuel in the market in some states relatively quickly, but on the whole, we have some time before this becomes a widespread problem. So voters shouldn't think that they are going to go to the pump tomorrow or even in the next 6 months and have to deal with this problem. But they will need to be vigilant unless we roll back this decision by EPA. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been court challenges that have already been filed by certain organizations objecting to this EPA action. So, you know, we haven't made a decision on that legal challenge one way or the other yet, but it is in the courts at this point, and so we will see how that battle plays out there too.
And just to kind of give our listeners an idea, Matt, there are what, like 13 million registered boat owners in this country?
There are 13 million registered recreational boats, yep.
Man, that is a lot of Americans who are going to be left holding the bag on this deal, Matt.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's an unfortunate outcome. Again, the we're not done fighting it, but one thing I would recommend and have been recommending to folks is that, you know, they begin to communicate with their local gas stations and tell them not to sell E15. It's not a mandate. EPA is not mandating that E15 be sold. There are some renewable fuel standard requirements that Congress has instituted to increase the amount of renewable use in the gasoline supply. But consumers ought to make it known to their gasoline retailers that they don't want to see the stuff, that they don't want to change pumps or drive down the street when they're filling up their 2010 Tahoe and have to go to a different gas station to fill up the boat that they're towing before they go out on the water.
Well, it seems incredibly simple to me. Too bad the EPA really doesn't seem to have our best interests at heart.
You know, it's an unfortunate policy decision that EPA has made. I don't envy the position that they were in. They were being squeezed by a very powerful agriculture and ethanol lobby, and they were being pushed very hard by us and a lot of other groups in the opposite direction. They tried to cut the baby down the middle, and I don't think their solution is a viable approach, and I don't think it really made anyone happy. We're not going to be happy until a compatible renewable fuel gets online, commercially viable, and fills the space that conventional first-generation corn ethanol has been filling. And, you know, it's not just marine. It's not just an issue of engine failure and performance. You know, ethanol is it's not fuel efficient. It takes a lot of energy to produce. It results in land use changes that are negative for water quality. It increases air emissions. There are a lot of problems with mid-level ethanol blends. We don't have a problem with E10. E85 is a good thing for specially manufactured vehicles. Our issue is not with ethanol or renewable energy. Our issue is with the manner through which E15 has come along, and we don't think this is a very good public policy, and we're going to make sure to continue to fight it.
So it would be fair to say that the EPA failed to conduct adequate research on E15 and that they just kind of ramrodded this legislation down the consumers' throats.
Right. In fact, we think that EPA's failure to adequately assess the impact of E15 on non-road engine equipment in particular is a violation of the law, and we think it's a violation of the law for them to issue a partial waiver of this nature. We think that is outside of their statutory authority. And in fact, the litigation that has been brought against EPA already by a number of food industry organizations makes that argument. And this will be settled, as I say, in the courts, whether or not EPA acted inappropriately in the manner that it made this decision. We certainly think it did. We will look toward the court to make that determination.
And one last thing, I guess this really has the potential to adversely affect the price and availability of E10 gasoline if and when gas stations decide to start selling E15.
Right, or retailers will choose no longer to sell E10. They're not going to be selling both E15 and E10 because they would need multiple underground storage tanks for their gasoline to do that. Mm-hmm. You might have some blending that would happen depending on particular retailer, but most gasoline stations are your traditional 87 to 93 octane gasoline plus diesel, and so it's going to be a real challenge for the retailer to decide which fuel to sell, but I can tell you it's going to be one or the other. And already we've seen basically the disappearance of E0. E10 is about 90% of the market right now, and only a very select few areas of the country and a select few gas retailers continue to sell E0 because that's what their customers want. Mm-hmm. But just like what we've seen with E0 over time, it's more expensive today. It's less available. It's kind of a specialty fuel. And I think, you know, because of these external congressional mandates, over time, over a period of years, if we don't roll this decision back, if there's not a consumer backlash, then E15 will become more pervasive throughout the market and more dominant, saturate the market, and we're going to have a real tough time finding compatible fuel. And we think this is a serious problem for the consumer. We think it's a serious deficiency in EPA's strategy, and we will be pointing this out to them in the future.
Well, Matt, thanks for coming on this morning and helping to educate us on this very important issue. I appreciate all that you guys do over at the National Marine Manufacturers Association, looking out for our best interests.
Well, thanks for helping us get the word out.
It's been my pleasure. We'll keep our finger on the pulse of this issue and check back in with you as new developments occur.
Please do.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Well, I hope that y'all found that information useful. This is a big deal, and we need to fight this thing together. Bass boats, duck boats, jet skis, lawnmowers, and any vehicle made prior to 2007
Listen, E15 is not a compatible fuel for any of those engines. So let your voices be heard. Tell your local gas station that you do not want them carrying E15. We do have to take a break. When we come back, we'll visit with the CEO of the world's largest nonprofit organization. It's Ducks Unlimited's Dale Hall. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Every time I feel your skin, makes me feel like I'm a brand new man. You make my blood flow like the wide waters on the Rio.
Whitetail hunting is as Texan as cowboy boots, high school football, and country music. And my friends at the scenic Rancho Bayas Rocas offer some of the finest whitetail hunting found anywhere in the Lone Star State. Situated 35 miles northeast of Del Rio on the Edwards Plateau, the Carta Valley landscape is breathtaking, and you'll feel right at home in God's country while you stay at the rustic yet state-of-the-art lodge. Rancho Bayas Rocas offers hunts to fit every budget. So call 713-468-5001 or visit RanchoBayasRocas.net.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
2011 Z521 Ranger Boat with a 250 Pro XS Mercury Motor.
Falcon Rods, Lowrance Electronics, and Lake Fork Trophy Lures are just a few of the perks you'll enjoy when fishing with Lake Fork fishing guide Heath Hardwick. Customer service is Heath's primary goal. Well, that and putting you on the fish of a lifetime at the legendary Lake Fork, Heath has built his business on integrity. His passion is bass fishing, and he loves sharing a lifetime of knowledge with all of his customers. So call Heath Hardwick at 903-440-2358 or visit him at heathhardwick.com. That's HeathHardwick.com. Hey fellas, we all know them boys from Oklahoma roll their joints all wrong, but they dang sure know huge whitetails, and that's why this fall I'm headed to the Obar Ranch in Woodward, Oklahoma. 120 to 200 class bucks roam the ranch, and after the hunt, you'll enjoy all the amenities of the state-of-the-art lodge. Obar Ranch also has a full lineup of exotics, so grab your gear and meet me on the other side of the Red River for a hunting trip we won't soon forget. Call 903-316-2854 or visit Obar Ranch at www.obarranch.net today.
The new Bobcat utility vehicle is here at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth, and it's hungry. Get ready to work like an animal and love it. Powerful, ultra-comfortable, and sure-footed, this lineup of vehicles delivers legendary Bobcat performance, so you can sink your teeth into a wide range of jobs. With twice the horsepower, 1,850 pounds of payload capacity, and four-wheel independent suspension, you will love it. Stop in at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth to see for yourself.
Every sportsman needs a gun safe to protect his gun collection, and that's why I called my buddies at ANC Gun Safes. ANC is a family-owned business that prides itself on having the best customer service policy in the industry. ANC Gun Safe specializes in Winchester safes as well as new lightly scratched or dented safes that they sell to outdoorsmen at huge discounted prices. They also guarantee safe shipping on every order. Call Adam at 817-228-1184 or check out their great selection of gun safes at www.acsafes.com. That's acsafes.com.
Cause it's a Texas thing, long necks and a western swing. It's the river walking, barking springs, and a cold lone star. It's the way that we like to sing in the dance hall down in Green, eating barbecue and pinto beans with a cold lone star.
All right, Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. This segment proudly brought to you by Rancho Bayas Rocas, located on the beautiful Edwards Plateau. Rancho Bayas Rocas has whitetail hunts to fit every budget. Check out their website at RanchoBayasRocas.net for a special Lone Star Outdoor Show discount. Well, this is the time of the year for the outdoorsmen, y'all. Deer and waterfowl seasons are in full swing, and my wife's been looking at me like I've lost my mind again. She seems to think I kind of go off the deep end from November through January every year. I've got a deer hunt planned for Wednesday, and I'm going to try to sneak in as many duck hunts as I can this week. But anyway, speaking of ducks, the Dallas chapter
of Ducks Unlimited is having their annual banquet on Wednesday, so I figured we should probably talk to the event's guest speaker, Ducks Unlimited CEO Dale Hall. Good morning, and thanks for joining the show.
Good morning to you, too. How are you?
Well, I am doing great, and it's a pleasure to have you. Now, you took over as CEO of Ducks Unlimited last spring, so is overseeing the world's largest nonprofit organization everything you thought it would be?
I think it's everything and a little bit more. Such a great organization and phenomenal people. What a lot of people don't know about Ducks Unlimited is we're very small from a paid staff standpoint. We only have about 450 employees in the United States, but we have over 60,000 volunteers that get out there and work these events and give us their time and their energy because they believe in what we do.
And speaking of those events, we've got a great one coming up this Wednesday night. It's the Dallas Chapter of Ducks Unlimited's annual banquet. And Dale, you'll actually be a guest speaker that evening.
I will. I'm looking forward to it. It's a great event, and it's going to be at the Crown Plaza Hotel, and we're going to have over 500 people there because we've already sold out.
Yeah, but we still can use volunteers if anyone...
Absolutely. We can always use volunteers.
No doubt about that. Now, Dale, in October, you were recognized by America's Wetland Foundation as the Conservationist of the Year. So tell me a little bit about receiving that honor.
Well, it was really humbling. I have done some work in some of my previous positions, Director of the Fish and Wildlife Service, and then even as a consultant in between being the director and coming to this job. And it's such a great organization that is just dedicated to trying to restore the Gulf Coast wetlands. And that is so important because we have already lost probably a million acres through subsidence and saltwater intrusion and development and a lot of other things. And it's just really important that we recognize how important the Gulf Coast is to the economy, to culture, to natural resources, to energy, to all of these different components of American society.
Well, the Gulf Coast is so important to our wintering waterfowl. So tell me about the $4.48 million Louisiana Coastal Restoration Project that Ducks Unlimited was working on along the Louisiana coastline.
What we did on the spill was, Ducks Unlimited is not a first responder. We don't run immediately there and say, how can we help stop the spill? Because when a spill occurs, it really becomes federal immediately.
Mm-hmm.
The Oil Pollution Act kicks in, and the Coast Guard takes responsibility, and it's the federal and state agencies. And so organizations that are nonprofit or non-governmental like Ducks Unlimited has to wait until they know who we are, and they wait for us to have an opportunity. But that occurs after the spill is stopped. Not knowing when this spill was going to be stopped, we worked with the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation and the Natural Resources Conservation Service to say, look, in case there's a hurricane, in case the oil gets up into the birds' marsh area down there, that fresh and brackish marsh that is so important to the birds when they show up in the fall, we need to provide some alternative habitat right there in the area. So along the Gulf Coast, we got this grant from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation to work with NRCS to go flood up properties. And we flooded up over 75,000 acres in three parishes and two counties in East Texas. And I went down here a couple of weeks ago to look at it, and they are just covered up with birds. As it turns out, we were fortunate that the oil didn't make it all the way up into that really sensitive marsh for us. But then we have a drought. And so now the water that we, on the lands that we flooded up, is most of the water that's in the area. So it turned out really good in both directions. One, the oil didn't make it in. The second, that the water is there and the habitat is there for the birds. But our guys are out there busy trying to work with landowners to figure out how to become a partner and work with us and put some habitat on the ground while their farm is working. It's really important to us that the farmers and the ranchers be left in business, because all of the habitat that we are able to get to, except for some on wildlife management areas and national wildlife refuges, is in private hands.
Mm-hmm.
So we work really hard, and our guys out on the ground. Their day is out there building partnerships, building relationships, and figuring out how we can help that farmer stay standing and make a good profit while still being able to provide fish, the wildlife habitat that we need there.
Mm-hmm. And once again, we are visiting with Ducks Unlimited CEO Dale Hall on the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. Dale, if you had to pick just one, what would you say is the most dire situation currently facing America's waterfowl?
Well, the one I'm looking for the future, if you're looking for right now going into the future, I think water is the number one issue that we will face in this century. Mm-hmm. We certainly have pressures on the agricultural communities to convert habitat and try and make a living. And we're out there working with them to try and give them alternative sources of income so they can work with us. But the bottom line is going to be who has the water and can we flood up? Because you can't have waterfowl habitat without having water. Mm-hmm. And it historically has been an issue that was west of the 100th meridian, but now you have eastern states suing each other over water. South Carolina and North Carolina are in court. Georgia, Florida, and Alabama are in court, and it could go to the Supreme Court. So I think the issue of the century is just going to be trying to make sure that we have water to do these things. The conservationists in this country have been the hunters and the anglers.
Mm-hmm.
They have been the ones to pay the bill. They have been the ones to buy the licenses, to pay taxes on guns and rods and all the different paraphernalia that you use to go hunting and fishing. And that money is what keeps agencies like Texas Parks and Wildlife going between license sales and their share of the federal monies. That is the bulk of what they have to operate on. So we believe it's really important that it not be lost on this new generation how much that hunters and anglers have done for conservation over the past 73-plus years.
Mm-hmm. Because really there is no bigger conservationist than the ethical outdoorsman.
I agree. Absolutely.
Dale, have you gotten to spend any time in the duck marsh this season?
I have. I've been very fortunate, and I've been able to hunt in Canada and Alaska and California and Arkansas, and have several other hunts that are lined up, and I just love getting out there and watching that sun come up and seeing that mist on the water and just getting enough light to where I can start identifying what birds are flying.
Uh-huh.
That's my cathedral. Mm-hmm. That's where I commune and realize what it really means to be alive.
Right on, brother. Well, it does seem like you've gotten to go quite a few cool places already this season, but what other hunts do you have lined up?
Well, I'll be hunting again in Arkansas, again in Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. I'll be hunting in Texas in December.
Oh, yeah? What part of the state are you hunting?
It's down in the southern part of the state, in South Texas.
Okay.
Be hunting down there with one of our good friends, it's just kind of scattered my calendar, and I'm not complaining, don't get me wrong, but my calendar is fairly busy with getting out and meeting people and sharing a duck blind with them, which is where you really get to know somebody.
Yes, sir. Dale, a couple more questions for you. How many bands do you have on your lanyard?
I only have a couple. I have never been one of those lucky hunters that the bird that drops has the bracelet. It's amazing, but I'm glad for all the other people that get them, but I only have one or two on mine, and I just keep looking at those legs every time we bring them into the blind.
Oh, man. Wait, Dale, where are you from?
I grew up in eastern Kentucky, but I've lived in my career with the Fish and Wildlife Service. I lived all over the country. Matter of fact, my son was born in Houston when I was working there. So I have a Texan as a son. My two daughters are Mississippians and Virginians, and we've lived all over, though. And my wife is from Louisiana.
Very nice. I didn't realize you had those Texas ties. Now, last question for you. Where is your favorite place to hunt?
I would rather describe it as a type of habitat because a lot of states in the South have this, but I love standing in flooded timber next to Cypress Tupelo rather than being in a blind, hanging my gun there on a short tree branch and laying those deeks out in front of us and in an open hole there in the flooded timber. That's my favorite kind of hunting.
Oh, it's tough to beat that, I'll tell you what. Well, Dale, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to shaking your hand this Wednesday night at the Dallas Ducks Unlimited Banquet.
I look forward to meeting you, Cable. You take care of yourself.
You do the same.
Thank you, sir.
See you, Dale.
Bye-bye.
Well, there he goes. Big round of applause for Ducks Unlimited CEO and Conservationist of the Year, Dale Hall. That segment was proudly brought to you by the Frisco Gun Show, which takes place this November 20th and 21st at the Dr. Pepper Arena in Frisco. Check out the website, ftworthgunshow.com. That's ftworthgunshow.com for more information on the upcoming show. Well, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll visit with a hunter who made a gut-wrenching mistake while in the deer woods. What would you do if you accidentally killed a buck that failed to meet the antler restriction requirements? We'll find out firsthand what Van Zandt County's Greg Goodrich did when he walked up on his illegal deer last week. All that coming up next. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. Join me this January 6 to 9 at Visions, Dallas Safari Club's Convention and Sporting Expo. Once again at the Dallas Convention Center, Visions will be our biggest show ever. The Convention Center will host over 1,200 exhibitors, all ready to help you plan and equip your next adventure in Texas or around the world. I look forward to seeing you at Visions, January 6 to 9 at the Dallas Convention Center.
Hunters understand that concealment and protection are not things to be overlooked, and that's why I choose Texas Custom Camo Imaging for my firearm, pickup, and hunting gear. Located right here in the Metroplex, they offer a variety of great-looking and durable waterproof coatings to fit every need. Featuring camo, wood grain, carbon fiber, and many other patterns, check them out at CustomCamoImaging.com or call Ray at 817-233-0522 and take it to the next level with Texas Custom Camo Imaging.
Howdy, Range Country. Chance Cody here to tell you about Squaw Mountain Whitetails. Located only 2 hours from DFW in Jack County, you can harvest management deer or go big with a 200-class buck. With trophy elk, exotic hunts, fabulous wing shooting, and terrain with over 500 feet of elevation changes and beautiful Trinity River frontage, there's no ranch like it. Family-owned and operated, they take pride in being a premier hunting and getaway destination. Call 214-769-3151 or visit smwhunts.com. That's smwhunts.com.
Dove and deer seasons are fast approaching, so head on over to Elm Fork Shooting Sports and shake the rust off. It's the premier shooting facility for shotguns, rifles, and pistols. Featuring skeet, trap, five stand, and two fabulous sporting clay courses, Elm Fork is a shotgunner's paradise, offering CHL courses, hunter education, and special wing shooting clinics with renowned shotgunner and general manager Jeannie Allman. Elm Fork has you covered. Conveniently located on 467 acres between DFW and Love Field airports, call 972-556-0103 or visit elmfork.com. That's elmfork.com for all your shooting needs.
Ram season has arrived at Dodge City of McKinney. It's the 60-day handshake special. 60 days, no payments, or choose 0% financing for 60 months on all of our 2010 Ram pickups. Get a new 2010 Ram quad cab only $16,988, single cab only $14,988. All vehicles come with a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Exit Virginia Parkway off 75 in McKinney to see for yourself today or call Dodge City McKinney at 877-291-0514.
If a whiskey glass and a cigarette seem to fit your hand, if a turn or two out on the dance floor makes you feel young again, if you can't see your troubles by the glow of a neon light, come on in.
My good
good buddy Zane Williams bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. Often imitated, never duplicated. You're listening to the most entertaining, educational, and conservation-minded outdoor programming you'll find anywhere in our great state. The best state, I might add. Anyway, I'm your host, Cable Smith, and this segment is proudly brought to you by your number one Ranger boat dealer. And of course, I'm talking about Diamond Sports Marine here, y'all. Check out their Lake Fork or Rockwall locations. Tell them I sent you, or visit them at diamondsportsmarine.com. Well, we all make mistakes from time to time along our journeys through life, and my next guest happened to make a pretty devastating one while deer hunting last weekend. Van Zandt County's Greg Goodrich arrowed what he thought was a legal buck, but upon seeing the buck up close, he realized he'd made an honest but grave mistake, as the buck clearly didn't meet the 13-inch minimum inside spread requirement. And after reading about Greg's situation on TexasBowhunter.com, it's what he did next that led me to invite him on the show this morning. So, Greg, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Greg, I wanted you to come on the show this morning because there are a couple valuable lessons that we can all learn from here. And I'm talking, obviously, about the buck you shot last weekend that didn't meet the antler restriction requirements. First of all, before we get into all of that, tell me a little bit about your bow hunting background as well as where you were hunting last weekend.
Okay, well, I haven't been a bow hunter for very long, about 7 years. I was hunting at Hagerman National Wildlife Refuge, and that's why, you know, some guys have given me some grief about it. Like, why would you even think about shooting a deer like that?
So you were one of the lucky 200 to have your name drawn this season.
Yes, and that was the first time I have been drawn. I didn't even know about Hagerman until I took a bow hunter education class, because I was going bow hunting for turkeys in Kansas. And then I heard about it and put in for the draw, and it was my second attempt, and I was fortunate enough to get drawn for this segment.
Okay, so you're out at Hagerman, and this is your seventh year bow hunting, which you have quite a few years on me in that category. Now, are you hunting out of a tree stand, or kind of tell me about your setup that morning?
Yes, I was in a tree stand, but I scouted out what I thought was a great area, and it turned out I saw deer all weekend in a little bit of a draw with a bunch of oak trees dropping acorns. I'd seen a bunch of rubs and a few scrapes in the area while scouting. I made four trips up there scouting and thought, okay, here's a good tree. Got set up for the wind right. On my way in with my stand on Friday, I busted four does that were, you know, eating acorns right there where I wanted my stand. So it looked pretty hopeful to me. I didn't see anything on Saturday. Sunday morning, I got back out there, and just after 8 o'clock, this buck came in from my right. And he went from my right at about, 15, 20 yards, circled in front of me, broadside the whole time. And that's important, and it's where I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
He got out in front of my stand, the biggest bodied deer I'd ever had an opportunity to shoot at, the biggest rack deer I'd ever had an opportunity to shoot at. Had some pretty tall tines, better than anything I'm used to seeing on my timber lease in East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to shoot.
And so the whole time you're excited. I mean, you're nervous. You've got that adrenaline flowing.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
You think this is a great shooter buck.
Absolutely. I didn't have any doubts about it. By the, the tine length on him and the size of his body, I thought I was shooting at a mature 3.5-year-old deer, or, mature in my eyes. Some people say 3.5 is not mature. For me and my experiences hunting, it was the best deer I've ever had an opportunity to shoot at.
Right.
And that was a mistake.
Okay, Greg, so you let the arrow fly. Now, did you know that you made a pretty solid hit on this buck?
Oh, absolutely. He was probably about 10 yards in front of me. I shot. It was double lung shot, broadside. I watched him run off, and I was excited. I still didn't see, his rack either head on or going away from me. He ran off, and I didn't get a view of it then. I was excited. I waited probably about a half an hour, climbed down from my stand, picked up blood probably, 30 yards from the point of impact,
mm-hmm.
Had a really good blood trail. Followed it to him, and when I got to that deer, I wanted to cry because I picked his head up, and I knew it's like, this isn't going to meet any antler restrictions.
Uh-huh.
For a split second, I thought, well, I could just leave him laying here. Who'd ever know but me? But then there's the dilemma. I would know.
And I can't even imagine your disappointment. You know, you're so pumped up. In your mind, you've just shot the biggest buck you've ever taken. And to have to walk up to him and realize that you just violated the antler restriction law, oh, man.
It was heartbreaking. And I knew, you know, I went ahead and dressed him and tagged him, knowing that I was never going to take that deer home with me. And that I had I called the check station immediately. You know, even before I put my tag on the deer, I called the check station and told them, look, I'm out here in the woods with a buck I just killed, and it's not going to meet antler restrictions. It was just over 12 inches wide. I didn't have a ruler with me, but I knew. You know, I knew. I had a little Leatherman. I folded out, and it goes to 8 inches, and I marked, you know, 13 inches on one of my arrows and, you know, tried to make it bigger that way, and it just, I knew it wasn't going to happen.
Okay. Now, as a general rule of thumb, if the deer's antlers are not wider than his ears, you don't shoot. Did that hold true with your deer?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, once I got him and I put my hands on him and turned him to face me, you know, it was like, it would have been very, very close had I seen him looking at me. Yeah, I don't think I'd have shot it. I'd have known that. Now that's, I would have thought borderline, I better not shoot. But because I didn't see him that way, I thought he was okay. And I learned a valuable lesson in that unless, you know, I'm absolutely certain that it's a monster out there, I can't shoot at a deer unless it looks at me or I see it walking away from me and I can get a better judgment of the width of his antlers.
Right.
It was a very, it's going to be an expensive lesson for me. I don't know how much the fine is going to be, but I was written a citation for it.
So the game warden was already waiting for you at the check station then, huh?
Yes, but at Hagerman, there's usually one there at the check station throughout the weekend.
Okay.
There were two there. I left the deer in the back of my truck, walked inside and said, I have to check in a deer that's illegal. They said, well, don't be so down. Let's go measure it and see. And I said, well, no, I'm pretty sure this one's not going to make it. They measured it and they said, you're right. You know, thanks for, you know, bringing it to our attention. You know, you could have let it lay and we'd never known. And, you know, again, I would have known. So.
And there's a whole other element to this whole thing that we haven't even discussed yet. And that's the fact that, Greg, you're also a bow hunter ed instructor. And in the back of your mind, you've got to be wondering if you're going to lose your certification over this.
Right. And a hunter ed instructor. And I thought to myself, you know, how could I ever leave this deer in the woods and ever get in front of a classroom again and try to teach somebody about ethics if I don't have any of my own? So, but on the other hand, on the other side of that, because I'm a bow hunter ed instructor and a hunter ed instructor, I should have known better than to ever take the shot too. So, you know, there's no, I'm still beating myself up about this, as you can probably tell a little bit. You know, I screwed up.
Well,
I admitted my mistake, but I screwed up.
Well, Greg, a man who stands for nothing really isn't a man at all, in my opinion. And you stood up and did the right thing. And that speaks volumes about your character. And I'd be proud to share deer camp with you anytime.
Well, thank you.
You bet, man. But we both know there are still penalties that result when game laws are broken, even though unintentional. So what other state levied penalties have you had to face other than this citation?
Well, so far, none that's certain. I'm told one of the employees at Hagerman told me it happened to a person last year. Their fine was $525, and I could expect something in that neighborhood. And there's also the possibility of civil restitution. I may very well have to pay the state for that deer. And also, on my way home from the hunt yesterday, I called Robert Ramirez with Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. He's the North Texas Education Director.
Right.
Or specialist, and I told him, you know, Robert, I screwed up. I got a game law violation. What's this going to do to my hunter ed status? And it's not certain yet, but it looks like I'm going to be getting put on probation, you know, as far as my hunter ed certifications go.
Well, that's certainly good news because you and I both know you won't be in any violation of antler restriction regulations anytime soon.
No, definitely not.
No.
And, you know, a good friend of mine told me, you know, Greg, why didn't you whistle at the deer to stop him or something where he would have looked at you? And, you know, when I took the shot, the deer was stopped and I didn't have to, you know. So, and there's always that, you know, something I just didn't think about was stop the deer, get him to look at me when I'm at full draw. Something I should have thought about.
But you live and learn, man.
Yeah, oh, I definitely learned from this. I can promise you that.
My feeling is that there are three lessons to be learned here. Hopefully someone out there listening will double check before they let that arrow fly or pull that trigger the next time they've got a questionable buck in their sights, or any buck for that matter. You didn't think the buck you shot was questionable. Secondly, a trophy is truly in the eye of the beholder. And although this buck was illegal, it was a trophy in your mind. It's the biggest buck you had ever shot. And whether it was 3.5 years or 6.5 years old, it was a trophy to you. And lastly, you are the definition of what an ethical hunter is. You made a mistake, but you owned up to it. And, you know, we can all only hope that if faced with that same situation that you were in, that we'd do the same thing.
Well, and that's why I agreed to do this interview. You know, hopefully, you know, if, like you said, if just one other person, you know, stops and thinks before they drop that string or pull that trigger, then it's a good thing.
And Greg, just one other thing here that we forgot to mention, this isn't something that you made public on your own, saying, hey, everybody, look at how ethical of a hunter I am. Y'all all look at me and what I did. No, somebody put this on a public forum without naming names, and you stepped up to the plate and said, hey, guys, it was me. I'm the one that made the mistake. And you opened yourself up for criticism by doing that. And I have to say, that's something a lot of people probably wouldn't have done.
And, you know, it was important to me. The person who did that was actually the instructor when I took bow hunter ed class. He was my instructor, and I consider him a friend. And I was glad that he did it.
Well, Greg, I appreciate your willingness to come on the show this morning and talk about an unfortunate situation, but hopefully one that we can all learn from.
I hope so. You know, like I said, if any good comes out of this, if just one person thinks about it and doesn't shoot an illegal buck because they heard this story, then maybe I did something right out of all of this.
Well, I know you did the right thing, and you'll sleep better at night knowing that you did too. And as the great Ray Scott Jr. once told me, the true definition of a man is what he'll do when no one else is around. So I applaud you, man. And Greg, I hope you get drawn for Hagerman again next year, and you get a buck that's 16 inches wide.
Thank you very much. I'm going to try to do it at my lease this weekend, as a matter of fact. But...
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for coming on the show, man. I really enjoyed talking with you.
You're welcome.
Look forward to meeting you.
Okay, take care.
There he goes, Greg Goodrich of Van Zandt County. A pretty stand-up guy, if you ask me. Nobody likes to put themselves out there and make themselves vulnerable, but I really do appreciate and respect Greg for visiting with us this morning. Well, we are out of time, so thanks to our other guests, Matt Dunn of the National Marine Manufacturers Association, and of course, DU CEO Dale Hall. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making the show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Here's a little Jason Meadows taking us on home. Until next week, I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
He ain't never seen a sunset out west, a cactus or a paintbrush bloom in the springtime. He ain't never seen a coyote crying, a young colt take off running in the sunshine. Well, sometimes we overthink it. I've thought a lot about it, and the only thing that makes any sense is if you don't believe in God, you ain't never been to Texas.
Have you ever battled a catfish weighing almost as much as you on a rod and reel?
Well, team catfish guide and professional catfish tournament angler Cody Molenix has. His 121-pound Texoma Blue Cat is the Lone Star State record. Fishing out of a 23-foot center console Falcon, Cody offers comfortable, family-friendly trips on Texoma to Waukene, Lavon, Ray Roberts, and Cooper Lake. Call Cody at 903-815-0273 or visit www.catfish-guide.com. So book a trip with Cody, because you never know, your next catfish could be a state record. Call 903-815-0273 today. Outdoor Pro Shops is Dallas's oldest and largest full-line archery shop. Come set up a new bow or change the strings or fine-tune an older bow on our indoor range. We carry a full line of compound and traditional bows in the following brands: Matthews, Mission, Hoyt, Elite, Struthers, Martin, and PSE. Outdoor Pro Shops has it all. Free setup and lesson when you buy a bow. Stop by and tell us you heard this ad and save 10% off any bow sight or 20% off any Black Creek bow case or backpack. Visit us at www.outdoorproshops.com or call 972-414-1969.
There's a Texas-sized buzz rippling through the fishing industry as Brass and Blades lures have taken center stage. State-of-the-art engineering offers a unique double hook, custom blade, exclusive anti-roll bend design, and even a semi-flex hook joint that bends with the movement of the fish. Brass and Blades boasts the premier lead-free buzz and chatterbaits on the market. Check out Brass and Blades lures at www.brassandblades.com. Made for real fishermen by real fishermen. It's the bait with twice the bite. Visit brassandblades.com and see for yourself today.